It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Andrew Perry, good afternoon to you. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Naye. I hope my sound is okay.
You sound perfect. Thank you very much, Pastor. You heard our question, right? How can the presence of God be experienced in worship?
Very interesting question. So first text I want to give is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, part of the text that says, "For he who comes to God must first believe that he is." You won't experience the presence of God if you don't believe that he is. And then John chapter 4, verse 23, where he says, a time is coming and now is when the worshippers of God, or when the true worshippers of God, will worship him in spirit and in truth. So first of all, you won't experience the presence of God if you don't believe that he is. Then secondly, you're going to experience God in spirit and in truth, or in spirit particularly. So you won't see him there, but you will experience him within yourself. And then we get to Psalm 139, I think starting from verse 7, where the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your presence?" So first believe that he is, understand you will experience him in spirit, and then know that he is everywhere. So you might be looking for something to feel that you might not feel, but know that he's everywhere. So wherever you are, he is, and there you can experience the presence of God. If you're looking for something to feel, you might not experience it, and that's discount it and say God wasn't here, and yet he was. So the idea isn't to chase something you feel, but just to know that he is there.
So how do you know?
Exactly what I read in Hebrews. You've got to believe that he is there. And in worship, I imagine the person asking is asking about in worship in community like a church. But that's not the only place. You've just got to believe he's there, because that's what it comes down to at the end of it. You can ask for signs like Gideon did, and you know, every once in a while God will confirm that he's there. For me, I do that before I preach. I ask God to just let me know this is his assignment, and something will happen there that will confirm for me that indeed it is his assignment, and I will speak boldly.
Okay. First, when we say worship, what are we referring to?
That's something I wouldn't know, because the person asking would know what they meant. But when we say worship, we're talking about this revering or this exalting of God, this acknowledging of God as being sovereign and the only one that's there.
Allow me to read it from the Britannica, what the definition of worship is, and then perhaps we can pick it up from there. Is that okay, Pastor?
That's very okay.
All right. So it reads, worship broadly defined, the response often associated with a religious behavior and a general feature of almost all religions to the appearance of that which is accepted as holy. Hmm. So the first sense that the Britannica is identifying is a sense of sight. You must be able to see something. The appearance of what which is acceptable as holy.
Yeah.
Right? And they continue, that is, to a sacred power or being. So your definition of holy, it must be defined by a sacred power or being. So what you're going to see, it must be defined by a sacred power to be holy. Right?
Right.
It continues, characteristic modes of response to the holy include cultic acts of all kinds, ritual drama.
Mm.
Now, ritual drama can be what these charismatics dancing and tapping their feet and, you know, being dramatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prayers. Now, that's the second sense of hearing. You're able to hear something that this deity identifies to be a holy prayer. So the second sense is the sense of, the first was sense of sight, a sense of auditory functions, a sense of hearing. prayers of many sorts. And that's what I found rather interesting when they said prayers of many sorts. Dancing, they called that a form of worship as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
Ecstatic speech.
Tongues.
I hope not. I hope not. Ecstatic speech. Veneration of various persons and objects. Which bothered me there. Veneration of persons and objects. But we do see it in other faiths that they vary people like the Holy Father, or they vary the Buddha, or they venerate.
Guru.
Yeah, or the Guru, of course. So yeah. That's the definition of worship. Sermons. So when Piri stands on a pulpit and preaches a sermon, that's worship as well. Silent meditation. That's also defined as worship. And the sacred music and song. I found that rather interesting for them to distinguish between sacred music and song, as though they're distinct. One is mutually exclusive from the other. And then they also say, also included in worship are acts of private response, like spoken or unspoken prayers. Silence. The assumption of particular postures. Now, we know Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and at some point he stood up and prayed. You know, worship is in different postures. Ritual acts and gestures. Some people, you have gestures like raising their hands. Some, they put hands on their faces and so forth, different kinds of gestures. And individual acts of veneration of persons or objects and so forth. What do you make of this definition from Britannica?
I think it has a lot of substance to it, because you've got to know, it's like watching soccer.
Right.
And let's imagine Messi has come and is playing with a South African team, and you know, people, I mean, it's a touchy subject because others would like Ronaldo, but I use Messi in this example.
Okay.
And playing with the South African team, Bafana, and he dribbles,
God, no.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he dribbles and all of that. And then he makes this shot that people would be like, no, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
It brings up a certain awe inside of you. You're like, wow, I never thought somebody could make that shot.
Right.
Or it's like where Steph Curry makes a shot and you're like, what? How? From half court, how did he make that? It brings up a certain awe inside of you. That awe is a feature in worship, where you have this awe towards God. And you just realize, you're so far beyond me. And I bring back to you all the praise. I bring back to you the worship. It's that awe when you think about God.
Okay, so having agreed on that definition of worship, let's revisit the question again. How can the presence of God be experienced in worship? We've seen that there are people who would be singing or dancing or venerating, but how would we know that which we're observing and hearing is for us to interpret to be a godly experience? Remember what he's talking about. He's talking about an experience, not necessarily an intellectual fathoming, but an experience. How can the presence of God be experienced, not anytime, but in worship?
So listen to something that Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 48.
Right.
He says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And I think he's trying to elevate us from wanting to see something or experience something before we believe.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that you cannot experience something. I gave the example of when I stand to preach, right? This particular time, there's a verse I'd carried on my heart. I'd been meditating on it for a week, and I was asking God, have you called me to speak this particular day? And so before I stood to preach, we didn't have somebody to sing special song. And you know, some of these aspects of worship are very important to us. So a fellow pastor says, I'll stand and sing. I had not talked to him before this time.
Right.
And he stands to sing, and he sings a scriptural song. And it just happens to be the text that I had been meditating on all week.
Okay.
For me, I was like, God is here, because how did he know?
Right.
And it's not the only time, like every other time something like that happens. So then develop your relationship with God to a place where something you've been talking to him about in the week is repeated by somebody in the congregation without you having shared with them.
Right.
Then it confirms to you, God is here, because how that person had no way of knowing that this was something that I was thinking about, or this was something I was seeking God for.
Yeah.
So if you have an active relationship with God, it becomes easier for you to look out for things in the service and in the sermon and in the music, that it'll be a word that will confirm something you've been talking to God about.
Right, right.
So that's one of the ways. But then I'm saying, if you're going to be looking for something and then you don't see it, you might leave disappointed thinking God wasn't there.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I hear you. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Don't forget, we have a date at 3 today.
At 3, we do.
All right.
And I'm ready.
All right. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Appreciate it.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.